Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your reading. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your blessing. Amen. Amen. You can take it down a bit.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed, therefore I spoke." We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God.
Thank you, Lord. So I think that's a long way around of saying we are saved by grace. To condense that down, we are saved by grace. Amen?
Amen.
A lot more in there, obviously, but that's what I get from that. We are saved by grace. And in that grace, we have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Remember the scripture? The Psalm 28, verse 7. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we can only get joy if we're saved. Amen? But we only get joy if we're sure of our salvation. We only get joy if we know that everything we teach and say and do is of the Lord. And it's teaching us that we are saved. Kenneth Watts. A lot of us know Kenneth Watts. He gave a sermon one day and some person in the congregation came up to him and says, "You didn't believe a word you said, did you?" And he had to stop and think. And they were right, he hadn't. Because in Kenneth's own words, he came to the Lord some years after he became a minister. So this is what we've got to be careful of. We do need to know we've got joy, but we need to know where that joy comes from. And the joy comes from knowing the Lord and knowing our salvation. In everything, there's a starting point. And I'm big on starting points. Where is the starting point in our joy? It is our salvation. It's been given to us. We got it. And it says to sing a new song in Him. Psalm 96, 1 to 3. To sing a new song. In other words, sing it as if you've never sung it before. Sing it with joy and gusto. Sing it with all the love that you might have for the Lord. Joy comes through security of our salvation. I don't know anybody that does not save that has the joy in their hearts that we can have. With believers, we should be able to open our mouths and laugh. We should be joy, celebrate, lift our hands high, and just claim Jesus is Lord. Amen? Because if we can't do that, we need to look at ourselves We need to look at ourselves and see, what's going on? Why can't I do that? Salvation only comes through the cross. It comes no other place. It only comes through the cross. And through the cross we have salvation, we have security, we have everything we need. Because only through Him. Habakkuk 3:18 says, be joyful in the Lord. Are you being joyful in the Lord? I've told you before, I got accused of being on a spiritual high all the time in Bethlehem. Well, praise the Lord for spiritual highs. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? As I've said before, as Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times and sometimes use words. Nobody's going to listen to your words unless they see your action. Amen? Nobody's going to listen to your words unless they see your heart. Nobody's going to listen to your words unless they see your love, your joy, your understanding of the gospel. The people will say, I want to know that. I want to have that. What have you got that I haven't got? That's what joy brings, and that's what we have. Matthew 7:15 warns us. Time, and the Bible warns us all through the New Testament about false prophets, false messiahs, false this, false that, false other things. All falseness leads nowhere. Amen? All falseness leads nowhere. And so if you're following a false da-da-da, well then, you're going nowhere. We've been told that we are following a narrow road. Amen? And I was telling the ladies this morning, the picture I got when we were praying the pre-service prayers was this long road. You stand on any straight road, and the end of it is narrow. All right? It's narrow. And the further you go down that road, the end is still narrow. You never reach that narrow point. Agreed? Unless you've got Jesus, Yeshua, in your life. And then you can. Because only through Him, because there's a gate down there that we have to pass through. Amen? Amen. There's a gate down there we have to pass through. And it's not across the wide part, it's across the narrow part. So many false teachings out there. So how do we know whether we're following the right one or not? How do we know whether we are on the right track? There's creation worship, there's dictator worship. Everybody been seeing the news on Korea lately? All right? If that's not dictator worship, I don't know what is. I know it's all staged, but still, it's there for all to see. Creation worship. They're more interested and worried about the creation than they are human beings. I thought human beings were part of the creation, but apparently not. All right? Get rid of the human beings and we'll have a good creation, is basically what they're saying. Not basically, that's what they're saying. In South Africa, South America 20-odd years ago, they had a creation conference, and the opening scene on the news was a baby being born. And the statement being made over the baby being born was, this is the pollution of the earth. So you know where they're coming from. Get rid of the people. One creation worshiper was asked, are there too many people in New Zealand? He said, there shouldn't be any people in New Zealand. This is where they're coming from. Then you've got all Buddhism, all the way through to Christianity. Well, is Christianity any better than Buddhism? Is it any better than these others? We need to look at this. You've got to have the answers to know whether or not you can convince somebody it's right or not. Amen? And that's the thing we need to look at. So let's look at some of these. And I've lost my little... No, that's not it. That's oil. So, let's look. I know there's little pictures, but it's just an indication at this stage. Here we got Hinduism. All right? Hinduism, shamans and all the rest of it. How do they find salvation? They wash themselves. Have you ever tried to get that oil stain off your clothes? You know, when you've disobeyed your wife and you've gone out in your good clothes and you've worked on the car and you get this oil stain on it? You've got to put it through some special treatment, don't you, before it even looks like removing. You can wash it all day and it'll never come out. It's the same with the stains of sin on our bodies. You can wash them all day, but they're not going to come out. But this is basically what they say. Prayer and works leads them to what? It leads them to being judged 1,000 times. Oh, but there's no judgment. But hang on, if you believe in reincarnation, there's a judgment 1,000 times. If you die 1,000 times, somebody's got to judge you to what you're going to come back again. And you end up as part of the creation. If you're good enough, long enough, as many times enough, you will become part of the creation. All right? In other words, you'll go, poof, and you'll disappear. Because you're now part of the universe. All right? That's basically what they believe. And then you have a Buddhism. Buddhism, what do they believe? Prayer and works. But they don't believe in a God, in actual fact. They just worship Buddha, but they don't actually believe in a God. So that's why they've classed as the Oriental atheists. But to have prayer, they've got to have a God, so they've taken on Hindu gods. So, you know, so where do they end up? Again, reincarnation. That ant you just killed in the bathroom this morning might be one of your relatives. I know, I've got a lot of relatives, but I didn't think I had that many. But the thing is, generally that's where they end up again, just going poof, and disappearing into space. And that's generally what they believe. And yes, people believe this sort of thing. And so they all believe, they have a starting point, they all believe they're sinners, and they're now looking for a way out of that. And as I said, Hinduism, washing. Buddhism, flags, prayer wheels, you know, spin the wheel enough times and, you know, I don't know. However, and Buddhas, you know, there's a cable car in Hong Kong. It goes right up around onto the top of the mountain and there's the biggest Buddha in the world apparently sitting up there. I didn't go in the cable car because that's the end of the journey. Just as well we didn't. The cable car, one of the cable cars fell off after we were there, brand new thing, and somebody was badly hurt. So it didn't work, did it? So we've got all these sort of things that we need to worry about. But just, whenever you're thinking of these things, we've got to remember Scripture. In Ephesians 2:8 says, we are saved by grace. When I was fighting the New Age and the Lord had me speaking out about the New Age, we'd be reading these books, so many of these books, it'd start to make sense to you. So the end result was, put it aside, go back to the Word of God, pray, read the Scripture, clean your mind out. Oh, that's right, now, yes, that's where the faults are. So you always need to go back to Scripture. Don't get yourself embedded in this stuff so much that you start to lose focus on the real Word. All Eastern religions work on the principle of self-gratification. Transcendental meditation was going to be brought into schools in New Zealand until I pointed out to the Minister of Education that it's a religion upheld in the courts in America and through the appeal court. So they knew they were going to be in trouble if they were going to bring it into schools. Transcendental meditation, I know somebody who was into it, and you could have dropped the rubbish tin, the metal rubbish tins, not these plastic things. The metal, you know, the old metal ones? Oh, you're too young to remember the metal ones. The metal ones we had. Remember those ones? You could have dropped one of them on the concrete beside her and she would not have moved. That's how much it takes over the mind. These things take over the mind. So what else do we have? Prayer and works. Mormonism. Mormonism is prayer and works. The cross, they talk about Jesus. But the name has changed since the first time I went and visited the temple up here in 1959 was the first time I actually been through that temple up there, because it was an agricultural school. That's what it started off as. And my brother was going to an agricultural school, so we went to there to find out what courses they had. And in the process, we went through the new temple. All right? But generally, they don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose in the flesh. What does 1 John 4 say? Anybody that believes he did not rise in the flesh is not of God. They push the cross aside and it becomes works because they push the Bible aside. And so you need to understand that it might sound good on the surface, but underneath It leads to some sort of utopia, you know, some sort of heaven or something or other. I'm not sure what. But generally, Jesus did not rise from the dead to save you from your sins. So you've got this little bit of a problem. Then you've got Judaism. Judaism does not recognize the cross. People are going from Christians are going into Judaism. Oh, yes, it's right. Let's be Jews again. Let's go back. Let me read you something. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing your name again. He says, rejoice, O Gentiles, and his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall become the root of Jesse, and he will arise to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles have hope. The Bible calls us Gentiles, so why are we worried about it? So, all these people. But you see, going into Judaism, you have to then go to a new type of salvation. Works and prayer and law. That's how you're saved in Judaism. And once again, you end up in a heaven up here. This is showing a person with all the animals living in harmony. There's only one person. But all the animals are so obviously the people aren't living in harmony. There's only one person there. He's kicked everybody else out. But the thing is about Judaism, it is not there is no salvation that they can be sure of. That they can be sure of. Nothing. And so then you got Islam. Their idea of heaven, I had to show it, but is a lot of young girls. That's what they say. And it's prayer, works, and removing your enemies. The only way you can be sure of getting into heaven in Islam is to kill somebody. That's true. That's all. That's what they have to do. So again, Christians in England are teaming over to Islam. And why are they doing it? Because there are no rules and regulations in Christianity. In fact, I saw a site the other day that said Christianity is not a religion of do's and don'ts. It's not a religion of... I thought, In other words, we have anarchy. Look at Syria at the moment. We've got anarchy. All right? We've got half the world, or most of the world, saying, get rid of Assad, and at the same time clapping the people on the back who are doing exactly the same as he's doing, killing and raping and doing all the rest of things. Total anarchy. Islam is not the answer, because there is no Yeshua. He's a prophet, but he's not as good as Muhammad. Sikhs, let their hair grow long, prayers, works, peaceful, yeah, right. I know a chap whose son was working on their Sikh temple out there, and he said, don't go in that room, you must never go in that room. Of course, when all the Sikhs left, the Kiwi said, why not? And went and had a look. And it was murals of blokes with guns and knives and things and bodyguards walking in this country of children have a knife down the back of their garment if they're a bodyguard to the children in this country. So much for peaceful. Again, this sort of coming one with the light, coming almost into godship is their idea of paradise. Prayer and works is Shintoism, all right? Almost becoming into a God state at the end of it. You come into a God state at the end of it. So, again, prayer and works, all the way through. And then, of course, we have the big one, Theism. How many people have seen that sign? What's missing? The black dot and the white dot. They're missing. Churches have that sign as a symbol. Churches have that sign as a symbol. I saw one, church and people. It was still that sign, but it was just done in church and people sign. It was still that sign. What does it mean in the so-called mean? There is perfect balance. What does it mean in reality? Good is equal to, because there is a white spot in the black and a black spot in the white, it means in every good there's a little evil and every evil there's a little good, which makes them equal. Good and evil are equal. That's what it means. But Christians use that sign left, right, and center. We spoke to a group of people, and a young man said to me, he says, oh, but that's the yin-yang, this is upright, the TNG sign, I think it was, for surfing and everything. It's on its side. I said, in other words, you lay the cross down, it no longer becomes the cross. Didn't think I got through to them, but apparently when I left, or they went outside, they all turned their T-shirts inside out because they had this big symbol on their T-shirts. Penny told one group, was talking to one group, and the boy came in with it on his pants. He said, I'm not taking my pants off. Fair enough, too. So, what makes the difference? We have Yeshua. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way. The only way to you can get to heaven. And how can that be? Because of that. It's the only one with that in the line between us and paradise. Amen? The only one. And without that, we are lost. Without that, we are lost. That disappears because prayer and works are not going to get you to paradise. That's prayer and works, obeying the law, is not going to get you to paradise. So there's total confusion amongst the people of the world. There are total confusion until you put the cross on there. Until you put the cross on there. Then confusion disappears, and so do these. Thoughts should go of these things. They should, and you be happy, joyful. Why can't we get up and dance and sing and praise the Lord? Because we have security, surety, righteous in our salvation. Amen? Only because of the cross. It's what makes the difference between us and other religions. It makes the difference between what Yeshua said. Just lately, there's been a lot of programs on some of the Christian programs of the Lord and the crucifixion. There's been a lot of programs on. And I've watched a lot of them. And it just reminds us of just how we came to be saved, how we come to have joy in our lives. Amen? Have you got joy in your life? Can you open your mouth and shout, Jesus is Lord? Can you open your mouth and laugh fully, full-heartedly? Can you just glorify His name? And it's only because of that in the circle. But if you take that away, whoops, where am I going? But if you take that away, which a lot of the church has done, confusion comes back. Confusion comes back. And that's what's happening in the world today. That's what's happening in our youth's movement in this world today. Is because they've not been taught of the cross. I heard a talk to youth, and it was a very nice talk about being good and presenting yourself properly, but I don't think the cross was mentioned once, or salvation through the sacrifice was mentioned once. It's all very nice to have a nice big band and sing and have all this stand in church, and you listen to this choir, and when they finish, everybody stands up to give them a standing ovation. What are we there for? To worship the King, not the choir. Amen? Amen. And so we need to know we have security. And as I said, it's only there because we have the cross. That is what makes the difference between us and these other paradises. They are nothing. They will disappear. Poof, they're gone. Because we know that without the cross, confusion will reign. And I met a woman years ago that she'd been going to church for 20 years. 20 years. And she was searching for the truth. 20 years and she's searching for the truth. What has she been hearing? We need to know that there's only one way to salvation, and that's through Yeshua. And unless we keep our eyes firmly fixed on that, who are we praising? Who are we worshiping? It's like when the Southern Cross, I was saying to Maggie, the Southern Cross. Anybody seen the Southern Cross in the sky? Anybody used it to find direction? Oh, some say no. The Southern Cross in the sky with the two pointers on the side, if you scribe those onto the ground at night, when you wake up in the morning, oh, that way's north and that way's south. You can find direction with it. The cross is what we find direction with. That is our compass. Without that, we have no compass. Ever been in the bush without a compass? Walking through, you can be sure you won't get lost until you're over halfway. Because over halfway, you're coming out again. But up to that point, you can wander. I've done orienteering. Anybody done orienteering? Yes. And if they put the markers wrong on the maps, you can be running around in circles even though you've got a compass. You've got to have the right mark. And the right mark is that, the cross. Without it, we are lost. We are lost. We are separated, Ezra says in 9:15, it says, we are separated by sin from God. Forgiveness, and only God can bring forgiveness back again. We can work our fingers to the bone. We can paint as many houses we want to. We can dig as many gardens we want to. We can do all these good works. But it's not going to get us to there without the cross. Amen? That's what gave us the grace. That's what's given us the saving power. That's what's taking us home. You've seen how many people have seen those pictures of the cross across the chasm? You know? How many people have seen those pictures? So true it is. We can only cross from one side to the other because of the cross. Hallelujah! Because God is good. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 1:18? The cross is foolishness to those who are lost. I didn't say it. The Word says it. Matthew 10:18 says, take up your cross. What does it mean, take up your cross? It's to take up the cross of the Lord. Carry it. Work with it. Know it. That it is your salvation. It is the way, the only way that you can know that you are on the right path to paradise. Amen? Through the cross, only Him. We can only follow Him through the cross. Luke 14:17. It's the only way to follow Him, to know we're on that right path. Like the young Jewish man who asked me the question, why wasn't Sneerson the Messiah? So I asked him some questions. Why not? Trying to be a good Jewish understanding. Did he suffer? And the short answer was, yes, he did. Why did he suffer? He had a stroke. I'm sure everybody who's had a stroke has suffered. But I said, was he beaten? No. Was he bruised? No. Was he crucified? No. Well, then he can't be the Messiah. He has to have been crucified as the scriptures tell us he would be. As Yeshua himself. And I think he already understood the Lord a bit, but the other two others gave their life to the Lord through those questions and his answers. Not my answers, the Lord's answers, through his word. Amen? And so without that cross, we can be lost. Ephesians 2, the joy comes from knowing we are set free. Are you set free? Are you joyful?
Yes.
We got the hallelujah lady down here who walked through this door in the morning saying, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! How do you know you're on the right path? Because of that. The Jewish people are lost in their sins because they have no way. I'll rephrase that. They do not understand the way that they can be saved. Hindu, Buddhism, Shintoism, Taoism, Mormonism, all these religions, Islamism, if there's such a word, they're all on the wrong path. And why? Because of that. They have to understand, you cannot, something I was reading the other day was very good, and I meant to bring it along to quote something from it, but I forgot. And that is, the innocent had to die for the guilty. The innocent has to die for the guilty. Innocent, before the Lord, was the animal. An innocent animal was sacrificed to save the guilty. But as we read in Hebrews, of course, it was only a temporary thing. So something really innocent had to die for the guilty. And in John 10:27, he says, the sheep know my voice. They know my voice. And his voice was crying out from the cross, and he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And that's the cry, that's the voice that was said from the cross that we can hear echoing down through the ages to us today, echoing into our hearts, into our minds, into our families. And we only can hear that if we accept that the cross is the way of salvation. The resurrection by itself does not save us. It gives evidence, but it does not save us, because all these other religions talk about a resurrection, whether it be reincarnation or some paradise with a lot of women. Is that paradise with a lot of women? Oh, I won't go down that path. And my wife's sitting there. Anyway, so the thing is, there's only one way, isn't there? The joy comes from knowing we are set free, Ephesians 2:13. Let us rejoice, let us proclaim him and him alone. He took our sins upon himself. I take your place, says the Lord. I take your place. I am innocent. I am not worthy of death. I do not deserve all this. But because I love you so much, says the Lord, I will go through this pain. I will go through the nails being hammered through my arms and my feet. I will be exposed fully in front of you with blood coming from every part of my body. I will be dragged through the streets. I will be bruised. I will be stripped. I will be striped. I will die for your sins. But on the third day, I'll rise again. Come on. Hallelujah! He rose. He went through all that. Because, remember, in Romans 5:8, God did not wait for us to be good. We didn't have to say enough prayers. We didn't have to wash ourselves enough. We didn't have to fly flags. We didn't have to spin wheels. We didn't have to. We didn't have to. God says, enough's enough. I'm going to send my son for salvation of the world. You're going to go down and you're going to die for their sins so they have a chance of being with me again. He did not flood the earth again. He did not destroy mankind. He gave them a means of coming out of it. Amen? And that's why we can have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Hallelujah! And we know we've got that joy because of the communion we're about to take. Because he says in 1 Corinthians, is it, do this in remembrance of my death. So we do it in remembrance of his death so that we know and can understand our salvation is secure in Yeshua because of the cross. And through that cross, we have a guiding point. Like a compass, you can't really, every now and again, when you're walking through the bush with a compass in your hand, okay, there's my spot over there. If I'm walking through the bush for 20 meters, 30 meters, and I bring out my compass again, you'll probably find you're over pointing over here. All right? In 20 or 30 meters, you are already on the path to being lost. So you have to have that cross there continuously in front of you so you know what the right path is. I saw somebody down here shake her head. She's done a bit of map reading, obviously, lately. But anybody who's done any map reading will know you have to have that compass virtually in your hand all the way, otherwise you go a-wandering. All right? So let us come forth, celebrate him by taking communion. Amen? Amen. Please come forth.